your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Jason Fitz. Start the hour with some headlines you got to know. Tony Ferguson suffered a fractured orbital bone in his UFC 249 loss. So the UFC president Dana White first revealed the injury to Yahoo Sports. The injury, sources say, will require surgery, but that surgery has not yet been scheduled. He was discharged from a Jacksonville, Florida hospital early Monday morning. That was the only major injury he suffered in the fight, which saw him take a lot of damage for almost five rounds. Kind of stunning that that's the only major injury, but that's a heck of a major injury. Next up on the headlines you need, coronavirus impact. The Premier League at least is attempting to get to a restart. The UK government has set a June 1st date. They've released a 50-page document titled, very succinctly, Our Plan to Rebuild, the UK government's COVID-19 recovery strategy. No doubt what that is. It also includes, quote, permitting cultural and sporting events to take place behind closed doors for broadcast while avoiding the risk of large-scale social contact. If a number of conditions relating to limiting the spread of the virus can be met, then there's at least a path. If you missed our interview last hour, we did some good deep dive on the Premier League and some of the challenges that they're facing particularly. But at least there's a guideline to try and get them back. And speaking of guidelines, Dr. Anthony Fauci has spoken out. The NFL season will depend on several varying factors, according to Dr. Fauci. He talked to NBCSports.com and said, frankly, that the safest way for anything to happen would be to test everybody Saturday night, Sunday morning, and say, okay, only negative players play. I cannot imagine the impact that that would have to gambling lines, to fantasy football, and to the NFL as a whole when suddenly the morning of you find out that half the league's starting quarterbacks may or may not be available that day to play. So those are the headlines you need to know. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN News. We're asking you guys to chime in. What sport would, what athlete do you want to see crossover, play a different sport, and what sport do you want to see them play? A little fun based on, obviously, The Last Dance, giving us a peek behind Michael Jordan and his baseball career. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you can get in on the fun. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Speaking of getting in on the fun, you can still get in on the fun with the All In Challenge. It's a fundraising initiative that continues, and you can still bid on or enter to win some great sports experiences and items, and it's all to support organizations providing food to those in need. There's a ton of cool experiences closing this week, including a Pittsburgh Pirates experience where you get to have a 30-person softball game at PNC Park. There's a chance to play a doubles match with Andy Roddick, and there's even the ultimate UFC experience in Vegas with Dana White and actress Halle Berry. Not bad. 100% of the money raised will benefit organizations providing food to those in need. If you want to participate, even if you look at the bid items and you realize it's out of your price range, it's okay. The enter to win are just like raffles. So $10, 10 tickets. So even if all you have is $10 to spare right now to help, it helps dramatically, and you can be entered to win incredible once-in-a-lifetime experiences. So go learn how these organizations help. Visit allinchallenge.com. It's that simple. Go look at it. Have a little fun. If you can spare anything right now, it helps. So go check it out. In the meantime, we'll get back to your first, your take in just a second. But Mark Emmert continues to speak. He is the president of the NCAA, and there's been a real conversation about what could happen for the NCAA, possibly not having a season without students. So this is Mark Emmert chiming in on Friday about the potential of an NCAA student, season, I should say, without students.
First of all of the in Division I for sure, all of the commissioners and every president that I've talked to is in clear agreement. If you don't have students on campus, you don't have don't have student athletes on campus. That doesn't mean it has to be up and running in the full normal model, but you've got to treat the health and well-being of the athletes at least as much as the regular students. And so. If a school doesn't reopen, then they're not going to be playing sports. I mean, it's really that simple.
Well, that's a strong statement by Mark Emmert. It should be noted that many of the school presidents have echoed that sentiment, that it is not safe to put college kids on campus if the rest of the student body isn't on campus. These are all very true and very easy to see things. It gets more complicated when we try and figure out what happens if some schools are open and some schools are not. I will go back and forth with my own life experience. I spend much of my time in Connecticut, and right now I spend a lot of my time in Nashville. I can tell you in these two cities, they are handling the pandemic drastically different. All right. There is a drastic difference between the way Connecticut is trying to handle this entire moment versus the way Nashville is. So, you know, in a world where I'm now in a city where honky tonks are reopened and the bars are reopened and everybody can go in, that's far different than Connecticut. So there will be a challenge at some point when schools are looking at the fact that perhaps, for example, University of Tennessee, Vanderbilt, these schools might be handling things far differently than Oregon is or Washington is. So how they'll figure out some sort of a landscape across that board is going to be very difficult. With that being said, Herm Edwards, the coach at Arizona State, joined First Take today to talk about the potential of having a season this season.
I understand exactly where he's coming from. The last time I checked, this football game, this football thing, it's not a social distancing sport by any stretch of the imagination. And with that being said, if there's no students on campus, you're sending a signal that you feel it's not quite safe for them to return to campus. Well, if that's the case, why is it safe for the players to play football then?
Coach, is that your feeling about college football or the sport of football overall? Do you think that that mode of thinking needs to extend to professional football? Because professional football has the television, not to say that college football does it, but you've got Big Five conferences and things of that nature that might have the television contracts where there's a plethora or an innumerable amount of schools that don't have those television contracts, whereas in the National Football League, you do have the television contracts. And is your mindset that no matter what, whether you're talking college or pro football, that needs to be the mentality and the approach?
Well, I think the mentality always has to be the safety of the players as well as the fans. I think pro football, these are professional football players. Last time I checked, the game I coach is college football. They're student athletes first. And by the way, being student athletes, they have a guardian that has some decisions to make in this situation as well, their parents. So I think as we sit here and think about what is going to happen, I think there's all kind of thoughts out there. Energy and emotion make the world go round, but facts and common sense, it slows us down. And I think we've done a nice job of slowing down and trying to rethink ourselves and say, well, how can we make this happen where it's going to be safe for the players as well as if the fans come in the stands? That's very important. Safety has to be the number one concern for everyone right now.
Coach, with all the uncertainty going forward and with the restrictions presently in place as a result of this pandemic, how are you preparing for the upcoming season?
Well, we're preparing like there's going to be a season, obviously. And I think, as we know, the one thing I know about sports and just in life in general, a plan that can't be changed is a bad plan. So every week you seem to adjust your thinking of how you're going to do things. And right now we're going to have another meeting Thursday with the Pac-12 coaches to figure out where we're at right now. We do know this. We need about a six week window to make sure the players are in condition to play football. Let's don't lose sight of that. We've missed valuable time right now with their inability to work out. You know, you have to work out and be prepared to play football. You just can't line up, put a helmet on, start playing. So we owe it to the athletes to get them in shape before we can even think about playing football.
Coach, I understand your mode of thinking. I see where your sensitivity lies. I appreciate that. But knowing that you're going to be a voice in that room, are there ideas, if any at all, that you yourself have thought about or have come up with that you'd like to convey to folks in the NCAA or in the FBS? Is there anything that you'd like to convey that you've been thinking about that you think can facilitate us having a college football season?
Well, Stephen A., I think the powers to be have done a great job of putting a lot of things on the table. And I think right now we're all just trying to figure out what is the best thing to do for everyone. You know, there's another thought out there that, think about this. Let's say you decide to open up, but all of a sudden there's some teams that you play that their state doesn't open up. Let's say we're in Arizona. Let's say we open up. Let's say California does not. There's four teams in California. They're in the Pac-12. What do we do about those teams? I mean, there's so many balls being juggled right now. It's very difficult. And that's why I don't think you see a concrete answer, because we're looking for answers. There's a lot of people involved in this, much smarter than me, that have to make this decision.
Coach, just in terms of not paying attention to every detail of reality, but we just saw the UFC stage an event, successful event, is very exciting. But we've had experiences as individuals, many of us, watching fights in empty gyms. That doesn't seem unnatural. Let's say there's social distancing in place and a lot of online learning and stuff, but campuses are open enough somehow to stage events, but clearly you can't have packed stadium, right? Stadiums. Do you think it should be played, that football is the kind of sport that that lends itself to being able to be played without fans in attendance?
It would be different. There's no doubt if they decide to do that. All I care about is this: the safety of the players and the fans. When it's safe, I'm good. When it's not safe, then we're going to have a problem. We're going to have a problem, and we all know that. And I think we're smart enough to realize that. Everyone that's talking about it, they understand the elephant in the room is the safety of players and fans. That's the most important thing.
First, take your take on ESPN News. And what Herm Edwards is saying there is simple and smart. I mean, think about what this comes down to. This comes down to what you prioritize. And as a person, this comes down to what each of us prioritize as a person. If you prioritize the health and safety of the kids, and let me say that again, the kids, because again, they are not paid athletes, they are not professionals, they are kids. If you prioritize the health and safety of the kids, then I don't understand how we can even begin to talk about ways to get football on the field. I just, for college specifically, I don't understand how we can even think of it right now. If we prioritize just that element of it, as has been said, if there are no kids on the campus, then how can you make student athletes come? That doesn't make any sense. How can we make student athletes play these games until we understand what our level of testing is, what our level of understanding is, what our level of vaccine is? We have all of these different elements. So if you prioritize the kids through it, this is a very simple answer. If you prioritize money, if you prioritize the economic impact to it, and I'm not faulting anybody for prioritizing that. If that's the priority here, the economic impact of it is absolutely substantial. I can't imagine how NCAA sports will continue if there isn't football to at least put money in the bank. I mean, every school needs football. All of these big schools we're talking about need football to fund the rest of their athletics. So at some point, if you look at it from the business side, this is also a simple answer. From the business side, you need it to happen. From the human side for the kids, you don't need it to happen. The last question is, what do you prioritize for you? I mean, if this is just about the fact that you want normal, you want to be able to watch something that's entertaining, well, we all do, of course. But at what risk? You know, what? Why is somebody else going to be put at risk for our enjoyment? So this is all very simple. When you look at it from a college stance, if you take the money out of it, if you take your enjoyment out of it, and just from the human effort, the human side, and you ask yourself, would you want your kid to have to go play football if the rest of the campus was shut down because we don't understand this virus? Ask yourself that question. That's really the answer to what we should do moving forward. Now, all of that being said, I understand that it's not that simple because, frankly, the economic impact. The ESPN study showed that there's already been over $12 billion of economic impact in sports lost, and that number will double. That number will double if there's no football. So we understand what everybody's up against. Plus, we also understand that, frankly, people want to live in a world where things feel normal again. I don't take anything away from those stances. However, when we're just talking about the kids playing college football this fall, to me, it's hard to see any way to make the kids go to school and play football for your enjoyment and for the money of the school if the rest of the campus isn't open. The most difficult thing the NCAA is going to have to figure out is what they're going to do when some campuses are open and some campuses aren't, and how they're going to find some level of balance when some conferences are handling this different than other conferences. That is the most difficult part of all of this. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, ESPN News. Let's get some of your take in. What athlete do you want to see cross over and play another sport? And what sport do you want to see him play? Mike in Michigan, what do you got on this one? Mike, we got you? I'm trying here. I don't hear Mike. So let's go to James in Ohio. James, what do you got? What's your take?
Hey, guys. I love your show.
Thanks, man.
Vince Carter playing Olympic volleyball.
We've had some tweets on NBA players playing Olympic volleyball. I kind of love this. I mean, Vince Carter getting out there, I'm all in. You give me any of the NBA players playing Olympic volleyball, I'm all in for that. That one sounds like it would be a lot of fun. Will in Tennessee, what do you got, Will? What's your take?
Judge playing either power forward in basketball or playing tight end in football, because he is massive. He could play any of them.
Oh, yeah. He's got the body type for it. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He is a big boy. So it's amazing how size seems to transfer over in so many of these. David in Florida, what's your take?
going once, going twice. All right. Try it again, David.
Yeah. I think that the best sport to transition from would be football over to golf. And, you know, we've got the tournament coming up here in Hope Sound, Jupiter area with Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. It's kind of interesting if a football player could be good enough to actually compete in the PGA Tour, they could have another 15, 20 years of public sport life where we, you know, just enjoy watching them in a different sport.
Yeah, well, you're right about that. And, I mean, come on, Tony Romo's still trying to figure out a way to make that happen. And I think all eyes are going to be on the match that you mentioned, obviously, just to see what it looks like when you've got Peyton and Brady. When you've got them going up with real golfers, though, I think we'll see the difference. We'll keep taking your take. But first, another conversation happened on First Take today about Dak. All eyes are on Dak's contract situation. So Stephen Jones has made more comments. And now Stephen A. and Max are weighing in on why, on how analytics should affect Dak's contract situation.
Sure, but let me change the name for it so people can follow this. It's really simple. Just call it common sense for a second, okay? Not just quarterback.
Oh, boy.
Any position player, any player on your team who takes up too large a share of the salary cap is going to decrease your chances to win. Why? Because there's less money to go around. That's the point of a salary cap. So Stephen A., while it is obnoxious for Stephen Jones to sit there and say it's not about the Joneses padding our own bank accounts, not like we're trying to save money for our family, we're just trying to win football games. That's especially obnoxious because his father, Jerry Jones, is the guy who ushered in the salary cap in the first place, which has zero to do with competitive the balance. I mean, look, when I was a kid, the Buffalo Bills went to the Super Bowl every year. The Bengals went to the Super Bowl. Small market teams got to the Super Bowl all the time. It's not about that. It's not like that's happening more now or there's a greater variation in teams that make the Super Bowl. It's about simply the owners stopping themselves from paying the players what they're worth. That's it. So Stephen Jones should never open his mouth ever about the fact, oh, we have the handcuffs on, we can't pay him. But he's absolutely right. Like, no quarterback who's been the top paid guy has ever won the Super Bowl in this century, which is already two decades old. It just doesn't happen. And if someone's going to break the mold and say, to hell with it, we're going to pay this guy, boy, that guy better be able to carry a team like, I don't know, Patrick Mahomes. Might Patrick Mahomes one day be the highest paid guy in his team win the Super Bowl? Yep. I could see that happening. Dak Prescott ain't Patrick Mahomes. And I like, there's more, but go ahead, guys. There's more I want to say to Stephen Jones, but I don't want to take up the whole segment.
I am so thankful to you. I want to give you a round of applause because you made about five different damn points and you were about to make five more. So the fact that you were willing to stop so we can grasp what
awesome.
The hell you're saying. I mean, I'm so appreciative of that, Max. I'm sorry, because your intellect is so far above the rest of us, Max. I thank you for being kind enough to bless us with your intellect to just stop short from a 10th point
you're
in
welcome.
That matter. Here's the ultimate point. Here's the ultimate point. You're Stephen Jones. Excuse me. I don't want to hear a damn thing about analytics. Why not? Has somebody? Is it just me and Max and Swagoo? Listen, can somebody join me in this chorus to call upon somebody to find out what the hell Dak Prescott is being offered in guaranteed dollars? Can somebody do me that favor, please? Because we don't know. We don't know. Max, I was a beat writer for 15 years, man. I've been a journalist for 25 years. I have never seen it in my life so long, in my career. I have never seen it take this long for somebody to find out what the hell is Dak Prescott being offered in guaranteed dollars. Because guess what, Max? Then suddenly the suspense is gone. We don't have to worry about analytics. We don't have to worry about anything. Whether it's Stephen Jones or Jerry Jones or Dak Prescott, there's a clear side that you would be willing to take. If we knew the truth, the fact of the matter is we don't know. Was Dak Prescott offered $110 million in guaranteed dollars like Jared Goff? How about $109 or $107, whatever it was that Carson Wentz got? Are we sure it's going to be $35 million a year? I don't even think that's the issue to sweat because the exclusive franchise tag calls for you to get $31.5 million on a one-year deal. So you, Joe Theismann, if that's your premise, is absolutely right. Excuse me, if you're being guaranteed over $30 million, I mean, come on, what are we talking about here? A couple of million dollars? He's right. It
you have the guaranteed dollar and it's within that range. But the reality is we don't know. It's plausible, guys, that based on what Joe Theismann said, based on what some of Dak critics, Dak Prescott's critics might say, it's plausible that they might have come to him with about $10 to $15 million less in guaranteed dollars than a guy in Carson Wentz who played in one playoff game and was knocked out in 3 minutes by Jadeveon Clowney. Dak Prescott has been to three playoff games. He's won at least one. So what I'm saying is when you look at that along with his 40-24 record as a starter, it's entirely plausible that you might have come to this brother and asked him to take about $10 to $15 million less in guaranteed dollars. We don't know. And if we don't know, what the hell is anybody siding with Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones for on this matter, talking about caps and quarterbacks when you're behind ain't one in a quarter century? Who the hell do you think you are bringing us that? You tried to cap stuff in the last 25 years. Has it worked? Hell no. So I don't want to hear that.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Fired up about it. I'll tell you this. It's not going anywhere until we actually get some sort of a deal. And I still believe that deal is going to get done, and then we're all going to laugh about how obsessed we were about it in the first place. We'll keep taking your take. 888-SAY-ESPN. What athlete do you want to see crossover play another sport? What sport do you want to see them play? 888-729-3776. Plus, we debut the first of First Take's top 15 NBA players. You'll hear that next.
Regular season MVP has never motivated me. To be the best to ever play the game has motivated me.
We're counting down the NBA's best with our First Take Primetime Players.
That's pretty interesting.
Each day, we'll reveal and debate a player from our top 15 ranking as voted on by our ESPN NBA experts. Who's in? Who's out? Who's number one? You'll know I'll have something to say about all this. First Take NBA Primetime Players, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN.
Well, if First Take's going to talk about it, we're going to react to it. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz, and you just heard Stephen A. telling you about it. We're starting our new First Take series, NBA Primetime Players, ranking the top 15 players in the NBA. Let's find out who number 15 is.
The 15th player on our First Take NBA Primetime Players ranking is Jimmy Butler.
Pass intercepted by Jimmy Butler. Two-hand Jim.
A five-time All-Star, Jimmy Butler's leading the Heat in points per game, assists per game, and steals per game this season.
Jimmy Butler is everywhere right now.
Are you kidding me? Taking over this game.
Over the last five seasons, Butler ranked sixth in the NBA in steals and also won the 2014-15 NBA Most Improved Player Award.
Oh, that was nasty.
Player number 15, Heat forward, Jimmy Butler.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. So they've just given you their, and we're going to do this every day. We're starting at number 15. So Monday through Friday, as Stephen A. said, going to continue to go through the list. And it'll be interesting to see who else is on this list. Hard to react to where they've got Jimmy Butler without knowing who they put ahead of him or behind him. But let's just acknowledge the fact that Stephen A. has been big on the Heat throughout the entire course of the year. 15 feels a little low. Maybe I'm wrong, but 15 feels a little low at this point. So we'll see what that means, obviously, going forward for them. Primetime players, they're going to give you every single day a different player. This is what Stephen A. Max and Jalen Rose had to say about Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler, to me, I like it. I got to think about it a little bit more, Jalen. When I think about Bogdanovich, I think about the year Chris Paul had, because we're really talking about the 2019-2020 season. I got to think about Chris Paul. I got to think about Bogdanovich. I got to think about Chris Middleton and these boys. I got to think about all of that. But I'm going to go with Jimmy Butler. Here's why. It's not just the fact that he's averaging 20 points a game on just 13 shots, shooting about 45% from the field. It's not even the fact that he's the leading scorer on a team where six or seven different dudes are averaging in double figures. What really resonates with me is that the Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler the year before were 39-43. Jimmy Butler is there. They're 41-24 before the season is suspended. That is a 21-game turnaround, okay, with about 15 games to go. I mean, that's a drastic, drastic change. And talking to the players the way that I have, the way they raved about Jimmy Butler, they talked about his leadership. They talked about his willingness not only to hold people accountable, but to be accountable. Jimmy Butler had taken a game or two off, and Bam Adebayo walked into the line. What the hell are you doing? We need you, bro. You playing tonight? You playing? Jimmy Butler invites that kind of scrutiny on himself because he wants the license to give it to others. And he wants others to hold everybody accountable so you have a team that's accountable. When we were talking about the Philadelphia 76ers, and if you remember that time when Philadelphia got blown out by Miami, Jalen, and everybody left to go home, but Ben Simmons had stayed behind in South Beach. If you know anything about Jimmy Butler, he had said something about that. When he was in Chicago, okay, he had an issue because he thought that the coach was a little bit too light on the players, okay? And then when he was in Minnesota, he felt like Tom Thibodeau had gotten a little bit softer than he was when he was in Chicago. So that kind of leadership, Max and Jalen, is what I'm alluding to, that he's infused in the Miami Heat, that numbers themselves don't tell that story.
Where do you have Butler on your list, Stephen A?
That's what. I haven't, honestly, Max, in fairness, I don't know the answer. I haven't even thought about it. I'm just answering the question about underrated. But
well, my point is,
answer.
15. Yeah.
Max,
he's 15 on the list.
Go ahead, Jalen.
I think he deserves a little higher, like 13, maybe top 10, you could argue, but that's what I mean by not most underrated.
I haven't thought about it.
You can't underestimate what the term underrated actually applies to. Kawhi Leonard doesn't fit the category because he's an MVP-level player, and Seth Curry doesn't fit the criteria because he's not an all-star-level player. I have Jimmy Butler ranked between 10 and 15. The true answer to this question used to be Dame Lillard until he shot down the Oklahoma City Thunder and broke up their squad and to the point where they traded Russell Westbrook and Paul George in the same offseason, a guy that was playing in the West, leading his team to the playoffs every year and continued to stay with the Portland Trail Blazers. Jimmy Butler has now ascended to that for me.
First Take, your take on ESPN News. Going to be interesting to see what the rest of the list looks like. Like I said, hard to know what the placement of Jimmy Butler feels like. So often we say the phrase, oh, they're a top 10 quarterback. And what I think in general we mean is top 10-ish, top 15-ish, right? When we say that about any player, no matter the sport, and we say, well, that player is top 10 in the NBA, if you actually sat down and made a list, it becomes much more difficult. I have no problem with the concept of him being a Jimmy Butler's obviously a top 15 player, it feels like. I have to see the rest of the list. That's going to be exciting every single day, Monday through Friday. We'll get more of the list, and then we'll be able to figure out how they have everybody placed. Don't forget, tune into The Last Dance. It's behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. The series continues Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Then listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. We're asking you guys, in honor of The Last Dance, what athlete do you want to see crossover, play another sport, and what do you want to see them play? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Mike in California, what do you got?
I would love to see Barry Bonds win the Tour de France.
Oh wow, that is a lot. That's a lot of man on a little bike. Like that doesn't fit. That feels like that's going to be a weird image in my head, Mike. But I'm all in for it. It feels like the Tour de France. Like everybody's in on Peloton right now. I want to see Booger McFarland's always coming in on Peloton on social media. I want to see Booger on a bike. I'm all in for that. Sounds awesome, Mike in Michigan. We tried earlier, Mike. Who do you want to see crossover play another sport?
Hi there.
Hey, Mike, what do you want to see crossover?
Can you hear me?
I got you, buddy.
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Okay, how about Michael Schumacher and Lewis Hamilton going from Formula One to driving taxi cabs in Chicago?
Oh, I love that. Look, when I was a kid, I was always so scared, spending a lot of time in New York. You get in the cab, and how cabbies drive, like, it's its own skill in big cities. So you give me a big city cab driver that's a former Formula One driver or that's a Formula One driver current, I'm all in for that. I love that. That'd be a lot of fun. Would you pay extra for that ride or would you actually, in today's world, then ask for a refund afterwards because you didn't feel safe? I'm not sure. We'll take one more here. Let's go to Zach from Illinois. Zach, what do you got? What athlete do you want to see crossover play another sport?
I think LeBron in the USC would be a sight to see because –
put him in the heavyweight division. He'll easily take down Stipe, and I want to see him and Ngannou go at each other. I think that'd be a great fight. And, you know, it'd be so easy to do because they can just fight in the summer when there's no NBA left. And then it also kind of reminds me of the Kimbo Slice. But, yeah, I think LeBron in the UFC would be great.
I love the analysis, and like you've actually figured out how he could do it. You know, that's I'm all in on that. You know, at least there he wouldn't be chasing the ghost of Michael Jordan. G Murph says Serena Williams playing basketball. I feel like she can do anything she wants. Andrew on Twitter says Verlander playing dodgeball versus high schoolers. That is a sight in and of itself. A lot of rugby tweets. I didn't know you guys were so big on rugby. But Donnie also says, I want to see Usain Bolt play free safety in the NFL. I'm surprised Usain Bolt hasn't gotten some sort of tryout somewhere in the NFL. It just feels like that's coming at some point. We're going to see that happen. Maybe that's my Raiders fandom. I'm just used to seeing track stars attempt. Justin says Henry Riggs playing basketball. I like a lot of these coming in. It's easy to find ways for people to switch over from, it feels like, basketball is one that's popular for everybody because it's become such a popular everyman sport. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's you get in on the fun. Tell us what athlete you want to see crossover, play another sport, and what do you want to see them play? That's how you get in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to keep taking your take. We'll keep taking your thoughts on that coming up. And we're also going to talk about something else, and I can't get my computer to tell me what that is. So more live radio at its absolute finest as I try and switch from one screen to another. These are the glorious moments that we get here. We're going to break down, would you rather play with LeBron or Jordan, plus more. Your take coming up next. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. What athletes do you want to see crossover, play a different sport? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the fun. If you missed the second hour of today's show, shame on you. You can go check it out, though. It's on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast, brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, N.A., member FDIC. We're going to get some more of your take in just a second. But there was another topic that came from The Last Dance over the weekend. We get more episodes of The Last Dance. We get more peeks behind the curtain. And that creates a debate as Jay Williams joined Max and Stephen A. to talk about whether he would rather play with Michael Jordan or LeBron James.
I am not dancing around this like Fred Astaire or Michael Jackson, God rest his soul, their soul, or anything like that. But there is only one answer to this. And guess what it is? That depends on who you are. If I'm Kevin Durant, okay, I want to play with LeBron. If I'm Kyle Korver, I want to play with MJ. You see how that works? I mean, if you are an alpha male, if you are an elite baller who considers yourself a number one option, you with Jordan is going to be a clash. You with LeBron James, LeBron is going to be receptive to giving you the ball, taking some time for himself, etc., etc. But if you are a considerable number two or lower, then LeBron is your guy. I'm sorry, Michael Jordan is your guy because he's the clear number one. So you have absolutely no problem whatsoever being secondary and being treated like you're secondary. But if you think there's a number one in your soul, in your abilities, in the core of who you are, and you don't have, and you're not deferential, you don't want to play with Michael Jordan. You want to play with LeBron James. That's the answer.
Well, the answer depends on a couple things. First of all, on the premise that you're trying to win a championship. That's got to be the most important thing to you. Okay, so let's start with that.
What kind of team are you on?
Is the team loaded? If the team is loaded and you're trying to win a championship, go with Michael Jordan because he will not let you lose. If the team is not very stacked, you might want to go with LeBron because he can do more with less even if he doesn't take you over the top. What kind of personality do you have or does this player have? Does this player just want to win and be around for that and do one very specific job, let's say? That's for Jordan. But if you're the type of personality who says, to hell with that, I could take the last shot. I want to be the reason we win. Then it's LeBron. LeBron is not the guy who throughout his career has wanted to take the last shot all the time. And Stephen A., you brought this up because he's not a great free throw shooter. There have been many worse, but he's not a great free throw shooter. Jordan was an excellent free throw shooter. And so the way the NBA is organized, like that guy maybe wants a little help. So enter Dwayne Wade and later Kyrie Irving. But if you even believe, it's not that Jordan never passed to a guy who could shoot in the clutch. If you're the type of person who believes you can make a major contribution to a team, you know, who the type of guy who could take a last shot, you'd rather play with LeBron, you're more likely to get it.
First Take, your take on ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. The debate that will never end between LeBron James and Michael Jordan. We're taking some of your take on who you want to see cross over and play another sport. What sports you want to see him play? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Chewy in California. Start with the noise. You know you got to do it. And then tell us what you want to see.
Jason, good morning. Man, you know what? This is a great question. So many that we can throw out there from even from different generations. So real quick, I'm going to give you a couple and then one throwback. Richie Incognito, MMA. I would love to see Russell Wilson. I would love to see Russell Wilson as a second baseman. I think he looked great in a pinstripe uniform, and I hate the Yankees. He's so Derek Jeter-esque, so to say. And my throwback for the day is going to be Greg Luzinski for the Philadelphia Phillies playing a pulling left guard.
Oh, wow. I like that one. That's a heck of a take. And look, Incognito, as long as it's not during the football season, you know, he's got to be healthy for my beloved Raiders. And by the way, two for two on the chewy noises. That is well done. Eric in Tennessee, who do you want to see crossover play another sport?
Hey, good afternoon. I just gave you the initials, AB, OBJ, NBA. Derek Harris, you know, I know AB has his issues, but at one point he was a charismatic guy, OBJ charismatic, those kind of things. The NBA feeds it, it feeds it, it feeds it. It doesn't stifle it the way the NFL does. So I think those guys will flourish, considering that they will probably play well because they're such great athletes. But, you know, the sky will be the limit for those men.
You're really right, too, about the fact that they would flourish. I mean, the way we treat NBA drama is so different than the way we treat NFL drama, right? I mean, at some point you can look at these NBA players and say, hey, we love it. That's part of why people are just infatuated with the NBA constantly. And then in the NFL, you're sort of put into a box because of it. Lee in Ohio, what do you got? Is a sport you want to see a crossover athlete?
Oh, mine's kind of a throwback, too. But mine's the kind of the opposite direction of seeing them flourish. It'd be Michael Jordan playing water polo.
Is it, do we know? Does he have any water polo experience?
He can't swim.
Oh, good, good, good. That's amazing. Look, he can't swim today, but, you know, if you gave him the chance to play water polo, he'd figure it out. One question, though, like, is it back in the day in shape Michael Jordan playing water polo, or is it, you know, kind of, you know, Rungeler Michael Jordan playing water polo? I'm not here to judge. I'm just wondering the difference, you know, what we want to see. This is the fun that comes from The Last Dance. Look, and we can all enjoy it. And I know that it's not traditional sports talk, but it's given us at least the opportunity every Monday to go back, look at something that's been fun from so many of our past and have a little bit of fun with it together. I love you guys calling in. It's been great. Speculation. Not shockingly, he's got an opinion. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. Thanks for listening.